Welcome to Manager Tools. This is Sarah.
And this is Kate.
Today's podcast, how to get subordinate managers to do one-on-ones, part two of two.
The questions this cast answers are, how can I get subordinate managers to do one-on-ones? How can I measure whether or not my managers are doing their one-on-ones? Do I need to set up a reporting system for my subordinate managers' one-on-ones?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Wow, it's already early December, and you know you'll be swamped with year-end and holiday obligations, so now is the perfect time to lock in your organizational training if you're thinking about hosting us in the first half of 2025. We want to support you, and there is no deposit required. Contact Maggie by emailing her at customerservice@manager-tools.com to be prepared to kick off 2025 with known and planned training for your team. Kate mentioned earlier, folks, too many managers think that all measurement has to include systems and reporting. And while it often does, those public visual and digital systems take time to set up. And in many cases, those systems we have for tracking things often aren't even checked. Sometimes they're cool. We suspect with AI involved, they'll be way cooler, but they also obscure the original organizational measurement system, which is asking questions.
Anytime, by the way, if you're an executive and you feel like you should ask a question, just do it. You've probably thought 100 times, if my boss is asking about it, she must care about it. Surely you can remember going to a meeting with her and you spend a bunch of time talking about X, but she spent all of her time asking about Y, and you go back to your desk and you start getting up to speed on topic Y because you believe that perhaps her questions lead to that being important.
Right.
And you're right. And you should, to your own benefit, care about what your boss cares about, if for no other reason. That's one of the reasons we would suggest that you should do that. And managers asking questions about what is important to them with the intent to make it important to their directs is the oldest measurement system in organizational history. Questions predate performance reviews, bonuses, feedback. Questions are the OG of motivational and measurement systems.
Absolutely. If you ask questions about an item, chances are your directs will focus more on the item, which you are seemingly always asking questions about. So let's use this then, this simple olden days, if you will, measurement system to our own devices. So if you're going to use a question as a measurement system, the first question to ask yourself is, what do I want? In this case, the answer is, well, I want my directs to do one-on-ones. So how would you measure that?
Well, we'd measure it by whether or not they were doing them.
Yeah, exactly. So how will you figure out whether or not they are doing their one-on-ones?
I could ask them.
Exactly. It's just that easy, folks. Don't fall prey to the first mistake of questions as measurement systems. Don't ask, how are your one-on-ones going? That's like asking, how's your project going? The answer you're going to get is, it's fine, which tells you absolutely nothing.
Right.
Ask the question whose answer will measure what you want.
Right. This is something we teach people a lot, that question of how are your one-on-ones going makes the assumption that they are doing them. And you almost have to back up a step and say, what's the original question here? Not how is it going? Because that's not actually what you're asking. The question you want to find out the answer to is, are they doing them?
Right.
And sometimes managers skip ahead with their questions and they ask a question that, because they assume the answer to the first one. So you assume the answer is, yeah, I'm doing them. Then you ask, how are they going? And you have to remember that the first rule of measurement is to measure quantity before quality. Because of course, at the beginning of any process, the quality will not be high. It won't be, right? It takes a lot of repetition. It takes instances for quality to occur. And that means we have to make sure that it is happening. The reason you get the answer to your question about how are they going is the reason you get the word fine is because you asked them about quality.
Mm-hmm.
And they answered about quality, which is this, fine would be the same thing as saying average. Some people are doing good. Some people are doing poorly. It's just that average in this case is super unhelpful.
Yeah.
It's vague.
Mm-hmm. Very subjective.
Super subjective. And I would suggest if they are doing them, and again, it's at the beginning, the answer is average. Some mm-hmm. people are doing well. Some people are doing poorly. If you're asking this question, you're measuring something that isn't as useful to you at this point mm-hmm. in the process. What you want to measure is quantity. So how then? Hopefully we've made it really obvious.
Hopefully we've made it really obvious without adding any additional reports or systems or processes or tracking sheets. Hopefully it's obvious that the answer here is in every one of your one-on-ones with your directs who are managing people,
mm-hmm.
make the first thing you say during your portion of the one-on-one a question about their one-on-ones. That question being, how many one-on-ones did you do last week? That's the question. Nothing further.
Right. Write down their answer to just that question. We recommend at the beginning that you not put too much weight on the value of the answer, whether it's 1 or 10, because it's not the first question, or it's not the answer to their first question that matters. It's the continuation of asking the same question for weeks and weeks and months until they reach a steady state of one-on-ones with their directs that it's 85% or higher based on the number of directs they have.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
85% of their directs. That's what we're going for here. Again, if this is the first time you've asked the question, you should not expect that number necessarily to be high.
Yep.
This is your first indication to them maybe that this is actually important mm-hmm. because you said, hey, we're going to do this. And then if you haven't followed up till now, you've actually behaved as if it is not that important
that
exactly. they do it. Therefore, it's not fair for you in the first instance to say, oh man, I was really expecting this. Why would you suddenly be expecting that? You've given them no indication of that to this point.
Yeah.
So don't worry if the answer is low at the beginning.
Exactly. It's not about quality, it's about quantity.
Right. And you have to give them some time to realize, oh, she actually meant for me to do this.
Yeah.
And therefore, I need to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're trying to enforce here is the idea that I asked for this thing and now I'm going to check if we're doing it. So if the answer is low at the beginning, that's on you and you're going to keep asking.
Yeah, just ask.
Such that they can understand that you are supporting and asking of them this mm-hmm. behavior.
Yeah.
It's literally that easy. You've asked them to do them and now you're checking on them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The things that get measured are the things that get done. You may have asked, but now you're measuring. And mm-hmm. if you want to continue to use the original managerial measuring technique after any individual subordinate manager achieves several weeks of above 85% compliance, now it's time to switch from quantity to quality by asking questions such as, what are you learning? And after a few months of that, ask them shortly before your one-on-one with them to bring their notes from a recent one-on-one with one or all of their directs to the one-on-one with you so you can review them.
Which is not a mechanism through which we're going to read the notes. You don't necessarily have to read the notes. It creates the next expectation, which is you're doing them and you're taking notes.
Yeah.
It's not that I need to know what's in the notes. It's that I need to know that there are notes. And this a little bit speaks to that style idea, right? I don't even have to read the notes because they're your meetings. And I assume you bring me the notes that those notes are helpful for you. Mm-hmm. So that's where your style can come in if we're talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
The question is still, are you doing them? Okay, you're doing them. Good. Now are you doing the thing that makes them even more effective, which is to take notes? So if you say, bring me your notes, and they don't have any notes, guess what? Next time they will.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Or they'll be like, oh my gosh, we were supposed to be taking notes? Dang it. Like they're, yes.
I'll get on that.
And when you start measuring things, they start getting done. Now, folks, today's guidance is all about how to get your subordinate managers to do one-on-ones. But as you can imagine, this same concept holds true, the same simple pattern of questions when it comes to the other models, feedback, coaching, and delegation. When it comes time to put those things in practice, again, as you probably know, brief before you change, brief them on feedback, for example. And then when they're supposed to be delivering feedback, how many pieces of feedback have you delivered this week? And write it down. And it's the same pattern, right? Ask a question. And then when you get a good measure, it looks like all my directs are giving 5 pieces or more a week, made that up. Then start delving deeper into not the quantity, but the quality. What did you give feedback on? And how did they respond?
Mm-hmm. 2 things you gave feedback on this week.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How many of your directs are you coaching right now? Mm-hmm. What are you coaching those directs on? How many times did you delegate this month? What did you delegate this month? Mm-hmm. And you can put this in your calendar, y'all. You can remind yourself. It can be episodic. It can be once a quarter. It can be once a month. You can leverage this creation of expectations through questions in a great many places.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you could do it differently. You could create a fancy system for them to report on all of this if you want. And then if you're willing to do that, do not come over here and complain about not having enough time to get the rest of your work done. We don't want to hear it.
You don't need to spend time creating a big fancy chart. You can, but no one gets points for big fancy charts. We get points for actually doing it. And one final note about this. If someone's numbers are quite high, like really, really good, and you're far enough along in the rollout process to receive feedback by all, they are far enough in the rollout process to receive feedback, by all means, give it to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you at this point in time, they may not yet, but you probably have the tool of manager tools feedback. Give feedback on one-on-one completion. And since we're talking about performance reviews next in today's guidance, we better be talking to our directs daily, weekly, even monthly about how they're doing before we give them annual feedback. Mm-hmm. This guidance is originally being released near-ish performance review time. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, if you're listening, it's probably too late right now for you. But don't get yourself in this situation for next year. Make sure you're giving those little pieces of feedback spread throughout the year based upon individuals' behavior, based upon your expectations of what they do to increase performance next year instead of waiting for performance review time.
Right. Because we do suggest that you make one-on-ones part of their performance review standards. Such a low bar. After the majority of your directs have achieved steady state with their one-on-ones with their directs, you can add an additional measurement, which also serves as an incentive, and announce to them that you will be using their one-on-one compliance rate as a standard in your annual performance review. So we're suggesting that part of it be 85% completion of one-on-ones as part of their performance review data. So you're going to check if they're at 85%, gold star. It's worth noting, this makes me so mad, that some companies prohibit evaluating behaviors that are not covered in a job description. And so we'd have to suggest to you, in order to protect you, that you modify their job descriptions if that particular use case applies to you. The idea that a job description could cover all of the tasking associated with a role is insane. And I would note that job descriptions don't have badges in them.
Yeah, exactly.
And they don't have
email
time off in them, and they don't have timesheets in them. And I bet that goes in people's performance reviews. So just let's, again, let's make the assumption and let's not get in trouble for something yes. that we don't have to get in trouble for.
Yeah,
so exactly. we suggest modifying job descriptions if this particular guidance applies to you so that you don't get in trouble, such that going forward, all of us have the opportunity to use compliance around one-on-ones as a standard in performance reviews.
Exactly. Folks, essentially, you started with just questions. What you've seen now is your directs are succeeding in doing their one-on-ones with their directs. It shouldn't be hard for them to simply keep doing them, especially since after they've been doing them for a while, they're probably working pretty well. So then they start mm-hmm. liking them, even if they didn't really at the beginning. So now we can move from weekly measuring to annual incentives. Annual incentives don't work for new behavior because a year is too far away. But once a behavior's reached steady state performance, an annual review metric makes total sense, complete sense. It's an expectation of their role as it pertains to leading their team. So it might sound like this. I'm really glad that we all achieved near steady state performance in our one-on-ones. I want you to know that part of my annual performance review for each of you will include an evaluation of the quantity of your one-on-ones. Your compliance rate on one-on-ones will be considered relative to the percentage of available bonus I am allowed to allocate to you. If you fall below 60% compliance, you won't be eligible for any performance bonus.
Oh, I bet that makes them do it.
Oh, I bet that makes them do it.
You put those two things in a sentence together, that will increase the likelihood of the behaviors you would like to see.
Right. And to Kate's point earlier, guys, it's not that hard. Like, it's like we're asking them
really
to.
Really not.
We're asking them to go to a couple extra meetings a week. It's not earth-shattering expectation. It's really not.
No, it's meetings.
Yeah. Like a couple of 30-minute meetings. It's not that big of a deal.
We're asking you to centralize the conversations you have with your directs into scheduled meetings. Because don't tell me that you don't talk to your directs at least 30 minutes a week. But do tell me that you're going to schedule that time so that it's reliable
yeah.
and that you can predict it and so you can be prepared and therefore reduce the amount of conversations you have outside of those meetings and increase your results and retention. And we mentioned bonuses and performance and one-on-ones in the same sentence. So this could sound jarring to some of you. Perhaps for your performance management system, it is. Adapt what we recommend you say to your system. We're not trying to scare them. If you're not sure how and you're a licensee, you can write to us and we'll help shape your measures and delivery to your company's system and make it more palatable or more politically able to be consumed at your organization. You're probably at an organization where they don't want you to say positive and negative feedback. They want you to say affirming and adjusting. Cool. We have good words for those yeah. things. As Sarah said it earlier, the things that get measured get done. And the things that get measured and rewarded get done well.
Exactly. Exactly, folks.
We're just helping you create the world that you want to live in, that you want to create.
Yeah.
And we're hopefully doing it in a very simple way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Again, to Kate's point, if you can't come up with the right words for your situation, just let us know and we'll help you come up with the words. Those might not be them, but we can help craft that for you. Looking for the perfect professional development gift? Manager Tools has you covered. Whether they're starting their career, leading teams, or heading to the executive suite, we have license options designed for every professional stage. Each license includes ad-free podcasts, complete show notes, templates, and tools they'll actually use. The Career Tools license, perfect for early career professionals, includes our complete interview series, resume workbook, and first job fundamentals. Our Manager Tools license adds everything a leader needs, from one-on-ones to feedback models, plus 24-hour expert guidance. And for senior leaders, our Executive Tools license includes monthly calls with experienced executives and premium support from our senior staff. This December only, gift subscriptions include our exclusive 2025 planning kit. Visit us online today at manager-tools.com/gift to give the gift of holiday professional growth this season. Okay, so then the next, I suppose, the final chunk of our guidance today is validate that one-on-ones are being done in skip-level meetings. Now, First, if you're not familiar with skip-level meetings, we do have a podcast about skip-level meetings, a periodic quarterly meeting between yourself and the folks that work for the people that work directly for you.
Mm-hmm. You'd have to skip your direct to get to them.
Exactly. Where you can hear from them. How's it going at their level? You're not trying to build a one-on-one relationship with those people. Your directs are doing that. But
right.
You do want to be there. You do want to meet with them on a periodic basis.
And in a group. That we want to make that clear. When we're talking about skip level meetings, if you go and listen to our guidance, what you're going to hear is you should not meet with your skips on an individual recurring basis.
Mm-hmm.
That's the premise here. So you can do skip level meetings. Those are group meetings that happen recurring, but less often.
Yeah. Okay. So essentially, start to finish in this overall process, we're going to measure easily using questions. We're going to incentivize tying one-on-one behavior back to performance reviews. And we're going to check that our measurement matches their behavior. Or As the other saying goes, inspect what you expect. Trust and verify, if you will.
Especially since you've set an expectation. You've truly gone out of your way to give them time to say, okay, I'm measuring this thing. This is what I expect. And you gave them some time to catch up.
Yep.
And now, when you do your skip level meetings, ask a couple of questions of them at some point during the meeting, the skips. First, raise your hand if you had a one-on-one last week. Simple. At a gross level, the number of hands in the air will tell you whether or not the measures you're hearing from your directs are accurate. Usually they are. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there's a chance they're not. So we're just going to check on that.
Yeah. And if you have an assistant in the room with you, or there's someone else in the room with you, have that person, or you could even do it, I suppose, take a photograph of the hands in the air. The reason is that afterward, you can then go through the hands and determine whether or not, even if the overall percentage is acceptable, if any one or more of your managers is failing to follow through on one-on-ones. Because again, at this point, from a start to finish process, they've been self-reporting. They've been doing one-on-ones. So if that's not really truly happening, you want that data.
Yeah. It's sad for your skips if they're not getting one-on-ones with their bosses. And so many people we come across want to meet with their skips because they want to support their skips. Okay, you can't meet with your skips because it usurps the power of the manager in the middle and it doesn't scale.
Yeah, it doesn't scale.
Every time I say to people, oh, it usurps the power of the manager in the middle, they're like, I'm not worried about that so much. But y'all, the fact that it doesn't scale is the big thing.
Yeah.
The minute you get to a position where there's too many people reporting to you for you to do skip level meetings, it looks like you got too big for your britches. If you were doing them and then you stop, they don't see it as, of course she had to stop. She now has thousands of people reporting to her and there's no way she could meet with all those people. They see it as, oh, now that she's achieved this level of role power, she no longer wants to speak with us. So if you care about your skips, you will do this verification because it is one of the ways that you can make sure that they're being treated correctly.
Correct. Exactly.
It's the other way, meeting with all of them is not right. It won't scale. You will drown.
Yeah, you will drown. That's the thing. You won't be able to do it. And you may not even be in that situation now to do that. So, okay. So the first question we ask then, raise your hand if you had a one-on-one last week. Next, the question, okay, so now hands down. Next, ask, what are you talking about during your one-on-ones? Rather than accepting general murmurs and just hearing from the people who want their voices heard most in a room, point at individuals. We hope that you know their names and ask them specifically, what are you talking about during your one-on-ones?
Mm-hmm.
And have them contribute so that you can input a bit more of those, again, quality measures now that we have the quantity measure.
Remind yourself that this is another way to support your skips. A skip who's smart realizes that his boss's boss is asking an important question and can think to themselves, what should I mention that I'm talking about in my one-on-one that my boss's boss will see as positive?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm in that meeting and I'm your skip, I am thinking through the last six things my manager and I talked about. I'm willing to go back a couple of weeks to come up with something that I think is politically and professionally positive to share with my boss's boss,
yeah.
Either for me or for my boss. So if you're thinking, gosh, this is trying to catch people out, it's a negative, I want you to flip that. Think about the positive intent here. You're providing an opportunity for your skips to paint themselves,
yeah,
and or their boss in a positive light of, hey, I want my boss's boss to know we're talking about X because they may not know. And I need them to know that I'm involved.
Yeah, exactly. Like I want them to know like my profile in this project. Exactly.
Yeah. I cannot imagine that a politically savvy direct couldn't turn their answer to that question into some political positive points. So don't assume, oh, this is about catching people out. It's negative intent. No, there's an opportunity here for your skips to give themselves a moment of notice,
yeah,
to you. And sure, maybe you don't feel powerful enough that you think that people want to look good in front of you. You're wrong. Probably. If you have skips, you're wrong.
You're wrong. Exactly.
This is a good place for them to be like, yo, I'm awesome.
Yeah, exactly. So again, in your skip level meeting, ask them if they've done their one-on-ones, then ask them what they talked about during their one-on-ones. And then when you have a staff meeting with your direct reports the following week, share with them what you heard and saw in your skip level meeting. Maybe they deserve a congratulations. Or maybe some of them deserve some feedback.
Yeah. All deserve a type of feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to choose which one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Y'all, you can and should push the manager tools trinity down throughout your organization. And if you're needing help, by the way, with the stuff that comes before this, you need to look at rolling down the trinity, which is the part where they implement it. You roll the trinity out and they roll it down. Or from your perspective, they roll it down. Whether you're a director with one layer managers or a senior exec with 10, you should push this down. It's not complex. It's not difficult to understand. It's a simple system. It's not easy because, of course, there's humans involved. And no matter how simple a system is, it's when humans get involved, I would suggest easiness declines. It simply calls upon the core skills of the effective executive, which is behavioral discipline. Y'all, ignore the whining about management style. It's a myth. And style is rarely effective at work.
Yeah.
It's not part of the canon of effectiveness. Although there's some people who look really stylish. That's great. In most cases, looking really stylish doesn't help you up your stock price. But we can tell you exactly what to do. It's simple. Ask questions about one-on-ones in your one-on-ones. Make one-on-one percent completion part of performance review metrics. And ask your skips whether or not they're having one-on-ones with their boss.
Mm-hmm. It's really not that hard and you don't need to make it more difficult. You really don't. Your directs mm-hmm. will learn the lesson. As all the rest of us did. My boss keeps asking about it. It must be important. Maybe I should do it. It's that easy.
My boss keeps asking. I want to have a good answer.
Exactly. Alrighty. Awesome. Well, thanks, Kate.
Thank you, Sarah.
That's all for this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Join us again next week for a brand new topic. Bye, everyone.